don't you just love our song? Hello, guys. Welcome to the Office Podcast. My name is Lelo B. And as usual, I am joined by Lighten. Hello, Lighten.
Hello. Hi, everybody.
Hi, guys.
How are you doing?
Nervous.
Why are you nervous? Don't you
know? Because we're live. You.
Yeah. I'm so excited though. Like, this has been exciting for me. I've been looking forward to it, so I cannot wait for our first live podcast ever. It's exciting.
Yay. And welcome to everybody that has joined us. Please tell all your friends to join. I'm already seeing Nompumelelo, Sibiya, Pumelele, Mazlibuko. Hey.
Hello. Hey, guys.
Melele says, yeah, you're looking cute. I don't know about the rest of us.
Can you see my hand, guys?
Okay, cool. So, guys, we are doing something a bit different. We're just trying out something different with this going live on Facebook so we can actually engage with our listeners all at the same time. This recording will still be available as a podcast, as always. So, as usual, we start with one of my, okay, I wanted to say my favorite part of the discussion of the podcast, but maybe it's because I like teasing you guys. So we started with KYC.
Yay.
Know your continent.
Know your continent.
Okay, so guys, because you are with us on the live, if you could, if you know the answers to my quiz or question, no KYC question, please also leave us your comments there. Let's see if you can get the answers, because I always get Gia and Lighten exposed for how little they know of our continent.
But I will say I am number one on the leaderboard. So
Lighten's normally ahead, but I'm trusting Pumi and Pumi and everyone on the live to come through for me.
Okay. So guys, I just want to send out a shout out to Rob from Ganja, what's Rob? Podcast Studio.
Yeah, Podcast Studio.
Rob is doing the things there in the background. He's the guy who edits our podcast, who produces, who helps us to get it to your Spotify, to Apple Podcasts, everywhere. So shout out to Rob. And if you want to get your own podcast, just check our podcast studio on Facebook and on Instagram, and he will give you everything you need to know and even assist you with getting your podcast started. So yeah, okay. Now, know your continent.
Yay.
So it's about a country in West Africa, ne? So this country is one of the largest in West Africa. It actually extends into the Sahara Desert, ne?
Mm-hmm.
So it gained independence from France in June 1960 after 68 years of French colonial rule.
Is that DRC?
No.
So obviously they speak French, yes.
Yeah.
But Bambara is the most commonly spoken language. Guys, don't Google. Don't Google.
Senegal.
It's not Senegal. And no, Ferdinand, it's not Uganda either. Next clue. The population was 19 million in 2018. Nompumelelo, I said West Africa. Namibia is not in West Africa.
Sorry for me.
19 million was the population in 2018.
19 million was the population in 2018.
And soccer is the most popular sport.
Can we call a friend?
Cote d'Ivoire.
No. So we hosted the 2002 African Cup of Nations. Okay, let me give you the capital city. No, Mulete, it's not Namibia. Pumelele, it's not Gambia. Okay. So They grow cotton and rice, ne? And corn. They're in the
corn.
Eh? It's not Cameroon.
Corn.
Corn, yeah. Aboni. It's not Nigeria either, Ferdinand. Its industry consists of construction, food processing, mining of gold, and phosphate. What is phosphate? I don't know what phosphate is.
It's Togo.
It's not Togo. I don't know who's telling you today. I saw you look. your boyfriend is not allowed to give you answers. Okay.
No one.
I'm going to give you guys the capital city.
Okay.
Okay.
The capital city is Bamako.
Oh, Mali.
Yes, Mali.
Well done, Lighten.
I can't believe the guys on the comments got it wrong, but they have got Google. They could have just Googled. I would not have known that you guys Googled.
What's the one that Muleto just called there?
Hey?
Oh, was he trying to write Senegal? I think he was trying to write Senegal.
Oh, Senegal.
Okay, cool. But so what's the next? You're still leading.
Yeah, I'm still leading.
We should actually have a leaderboard every week where we update for every recording. So I think from the next recording, so we'll actually record it from now and then we'll have a leaderboard going.
Yeah, okay. We start, even with even if we start as a fresh, Lighten is still the leader. So it's like,
you can actually start afresh, Kia. So
yeah. Okay, cool stuff. So Kia, it's now time for the office discussion. What are we talking about this week?
Eshka, so we're obviously seeing the increase in COVID-19 cases, and we're seeing more people going back into the office since level 3, right? So we were told that about 8 million South Africans will be going back to their offices, going back to the restaurants that they're working in, or, you know, they're going back to their different respective workplaces. And today we just wanted to find out, what can you as an employer or an employee do to make sure that you're in the parameters of the law and acting correctly and making sure that our employees know what to do should they, you know, catch while at work? Because we're seeing a lot more cases, meaning people are traveling on public transport, people are either contracting the virus at work. But how can you actually prove that you contracted the virus at work? And should you contract the virus at work, what ramifications or what happens or who can you speak to in that case? So I just wanted to ask you guys, has level 3 been any different for you? Personally, I've only been to the office about twice and I've had to do it because I've needed to attend particular meetings. I've also been exposed to going outside because as a consultant, I have to unfortunately go and see clients face-to-face because some clients still want to see you face-to-face. So I've had to meet some clients and leave home. But I'm also seeing a lot more people on the road. So I don't know, Lighten, Lelo, are you guys back at the office? A lot of companies are doing soft openings where people can go into the office if they want to, they don't have to. But some companies have done hard openings where people have to go into the office. I don't know if you guys are experiencing anything any different.
I haven't gone back to the office. And I think in my company, we also not... things are just continuing as normal with us working flexibly, working remotely, except like the offices are open and obviously there's precautions in place in terms of, you know, social distancing, where desks are. And even when people go into the office, they're given that spritzer packs where you literally get a spray sanitizer thing for your desk, you get a mask. And you even get a cloth that you can just use to clean up your things that you touch and so on. But, we are just saying if you are struggling with, connectivity at home, you know, if load shedding, I mean, Telkom is saying, is it Telkom or Eskom? Eskom is saying there's no load shedding. You're not that thing. There's no load shedding. So whatever it is that's happening, because a lot of people have been struggling with not having, electricity. So, you know, when people, are struggling with connecting, let's say more than twice, two consecutive days, then going to the office is open for you to go in there. But, we're not really forcing people to say, go back to the office. It's just if you are struggling with connectivity or you do want to go and work from the office for whatever reason. Some people have been saying, I want to go into the office because I'm so tired of being at home. Or I just want some privacy, but generally, yeah, it's been like that. So I haven't been because, I haven't really needed to go into the office. I actually thought, because remember when we started with the lockdown, I was struggling a bit with just being cooped up in the house. So I thought as soon as we are allowed to go into the office, I'll be one of the first people to go, but I haven't gone. Lighten?
I also haven't gone. Like, I'm a bit neurotic, so I haven't gone to the office. I'm actually not even, but like Leather said, like our offices are open for people that need to use them, but we'll also have like a limited number of people that can be there at the same time, and they're doing all the precautions, so which has been great. But we're still working from home. Personally, I'm still like keeping to myself as much as I can. What I've just been doing is like going on a hike, like on Saturdays, because it clears my mind, and I think it's a bit of exercise because the roles are piling.
Hey, that hiking bit. A friend of mine actually recommended hiking the other day, and we were just like, "No, man," because I think that's the only type of going out people can actually do at the moment, right? So I'm seeing a lot of people having the increase or the want or the need to go hiking. I'm struggling because I'm so tired and I'm constantly working. So the little bit of like chance I get to like just switch off, I'd rather just like watch like TV or watch Netflix or just sleep. So I haven't had like the appetite to go out. But I'm definitely wanting to also explore what happens with this work from home, because our company is compensating people actually for working from home, because you're using your electricity, you're using your fiber connection, so you're using your resources for work. So I'm trying to figure out how that's going to work. If work from home is going to become a thing, are we going to be compensated for those little things like getting internet allowances or electricity allowances, the same way people who are in sales get car allowances because they have to use their cars when they operate? So I'm actually wondering, that might actually be something we need to look into, because if work from home is going to be something that we're doing more regularly, then I'd like to think I want to be compensated for my electricity, because a lot of electricity bills are going up.
True.
A lot of people who didn't have fiber before are having to actually install fiber in their homes. They probably didn't need to before, but now they're forced to part with thousands of rands just to get that internet connection. So I definitely think it's something that companies need to start looking at. I know that Google, being who they are, have already started looking into that. So I think it's quite an interesting thing.
Yeah. We also looking at those things, Gia. But the thing about for example, compensating you for electricity, then the tax implications also have to be considered in those regards. And I think if I as an employer am gonna give you money for electricity, then there's some, I think when it comes to tax laws, there's some consideration there, and things like, I need to make sure that this electricity is used strictly for work purposes. So if you're not using it for work purposes and you are also not the only one who lives in that house, how do I know how much of that electricity is actually used for work purposes? Because I think those are things that have to be taken into consideration. So things like data allowance, or because you're using your own fiber, then those are things that we can. I think those are easy to do. But electricity and your space, because even with office space, so SARS has like these strict rules about, if I'm giving you money for you to buy furniture for your office that is at home, then I need to make sure that it's used strictly for work purposes. It's not used for other things. So the SARS has like weird rules about what, you know, how companies can give you those type of payments. But I think things like data allowance, like car allowance for sales people that travel around is easier, is much more easier to do. So guys, just let us know also in the comments how are things happening in your company. Have you gone back to the office? What types of allowances are they giving you for working from home? And I just want to say hello to Lerato Tsotetsi, who's also joined us. She's joining us all the way from Amsterdam. Hi, Lerato. So yeah, hello. Please let us know, guys, how are things in your company? What allowances are they giving you? And what other initiatives are companies doing, I guess, to kind of help you as you're working from home? Over to you, Gia.
So guys, you know, just to make the conversation a type bit more serious, a lot of people are contracting the virus, obviously. So we just wanted to make sure you guys understand what processes you need to follow or who you need to speak to in case you want to tackle the issue legally. So firstly, in going back to the office, always make sure that your employer actually gives you a work permit, because that permit will allow you to travel across cities, will allow you to travel across provinces, but for work purposes. I have heard that people are traveling around and they're actually not using permits and they can get away with it, but always make sure that you have a permit, and employers need to make sure that they provide that permit for their employees. I've actually seen the permit as quite a basic document that just stipulates who you are, what your address is, what your ID number is, and where you're permitted to travel, especially if you're working within a COVID-19 hotspot, right? And businesses also need to make sure that in the event that they have about more than 100 employees coming back to work, you need to make sure that there are staggered working hours. I've heard of many companies who aren't actually doing this. And this means that people need to start working in groups, in batches. So if you've got more than 100 employees in your business, you need to have a schedule that allows people to step in for the first 3 hours of the day. Someone knocks off, works from home, and the next group comes in for the second half of the day. But I've heard again that a lot of companies are actually not doing this. So in the event that your company is not doing this, please make sure that you do contact the Department of Labor. You can anonymously talk just to say, hey, guys, I've got a bit of a problem. Let them know that that's not happening. Shift systems need to be put in place as well. Make sure that there's also rotation of workers. So you don't always have to go into work every day. Ideally, what should be happening is that you should be going into the office for about a minimum about 3 days a week, and then the other 2 days working from home. So if, again, your employer is not doing that, you have the right to take it up with the employer. Or if you want to speak to the Department of Labor, you have the right to speak to the Department of Labor just to say and double check, is this correct? Is this allowed? Obviously, industries are different, so even each industry will have its own staggered approach or its shift system. But do make sure that you are well acquainted with your company's staggered and shift process. Lelo?
So, that they can't dictate to companies like you can only have 100 people and you can only work 3 days a week and then the rest you must work from home. I don't think they can dictate that, can they? Because I'm thinking...
It seems they can.
Hey?
It seems they can. And I think it's determined by the... I think it's determined by the space.
Yes.
If you've got more than 100 employees in your office, right, and you have to adhere to the 1 to 2 meter social distancing rules, the number of people against the square meter office that you have dictates how many people you can have at a time. So then you have to unfortunately stagger and you have to shift people so that they do adhere to that 2 meter rule.
Okay, because I'm thinking, so you're thinking one office, like building like this, because I'm thinking different, if we've got different buildings in one company, and it we are able in whatever space. Okay, so I hear you then. You talk about...
So it's more of a square meter, yeah. So just to adhere to the amount of space that your business has, maybe for that department. So I know you work for a large organization that has multiple buildings. So obviously it would be a staggered approach for each department or each division, or probably even each floor. For small organizations, it's easier to maintain. I work for a small organization of about 30 employees in total. Well, in the Africa office. So it's easier for us to say, okay, only 10 people can go into the office this week. And we've actually been allocated different parts of the office where we can operate from. We're no longer going to be sitting together. And now we have to hot desk because we're not situated that way.
I'm seeing from the comments that Ferdinand says they are going to be working from home forever. And they've got their mobile phone and four gigs of data that they've been allocated at work. They're working from home until further notice. Pumelele says they got an increase of 3G data allocation, and they've also been told to work from home. So on Freddie's point where he says that our company is not renewing lease of 2 floors of the building in Sandton, that actually makes sense, because I was thinking at work, we actually recently renovated our offices. All of us, I know, and it's quite a lot of money spent making these offices cool and the technology, you know, upgrade and everything. And now people are not even working from the office.
And that is a huge cost, hey, for many companies, actually. Lie?
No, I was going to say the same thing. I think like that's a huge cost for many companies, because like companies like Deloitte, who just put up that new building by Mall of Africa, and I don't think they're actually fully utilizing it. So it's like, what are the impacts to their business because of that? So that's, yeah, that is quite like a cost that needs to be cleared. But back to your point, yeah, earlier about people coming in shifts. Is it clarified, or what do you think about the shift system? I completely agree with it, but I'm curious to know if the shift groups are going to stay the same. So, like, group A will always, if you're in group A, you'll always be in group A, group B, always be in group B. Does that, because in my mind, I'm thinking, if I know that they're the only 10 people that come when I come to work, if anyone had to contract the virus, we know that it came from like group A, or
yeah,
it's like kind of easy to know who needs to like, you know, isolate and whatnot and whatnot. Do you know if there's any rules around that, or?
So I'm not quite clear on those particular rules, because again, guys, just a disclaimer, I'm not an expert on these matters. I have just read up on it on legal websites and from legal firms. So I'm not quite clear on how that would particularly work, but I would think that it makes sense to have the group strictly as it is from, so group A would stick together, group B would stick together, so that it makes the tracking and tracing much easier, much easier. Because that way, you know that I was working with Lelo this week. I was working on the same shift with Lelo, Lighten, Pumi, Mpumi, Damon, and we were all together. So those are the people that I know when we track and trace, those are the people that we need to contact and say, guys, you might need to self-isolate. I've just tested positive for COVID-19. So it's quite interesting, because one thing I think we also need to be careful of is the fact that this is something so new to the world, or more especially us, because as South Africa, we've never really experienced something of this nature. So everything that's coming out, all the regulations, all the rules, all the laws are all new. And in as much as we want to always like strike government or blame government on making mistakes, or, you know, go at them and go in cocktail, say you guys are making a mess, the reality is we're all having to come together to learn a new way of dealing with these sort of things, or a global pandemic, right? So I think it's a learning for every organization, it's a learning for governments, it's a learning for us as well as citizens and employees. So it's quite a tricky one, that one.
Yeah.
And then another thing that you guys also need to make sure that your office does have is a compliance officer. Depending on the size of the organization, again, like I said, our organization has a total of about 30 employees. So we've got 2 compliance officers. These are the people that make sure that when we step into the office, they check our temperature every day. They check that we signed the register to say we were in the office on that particular day. Make sure that you have your own pen, by the way, every time you go into the office, ideally, that you can sign those registers. The people that make sure that you've sanitized and you're not sitting where you shouldn't be sitting or operating. And those are the people that will be able to call any the departments of health, or contact all the right people that they need to contact in the event that there is a positive case and they might need to report, or get the office cleaned or get it sanitized. Anything related to that, make sure that you know who your compliance officers actually are. And then again, going back to the shift system, you need to have a workplace plan that all employees have access to. That way, you'll know where you've been allocated to sit going forward, when you can go into the office, how often you can go into the office, and again, all those rules. So make sure that when you do go back into the office, if you have to go back into the office, you are aware of who your compliance manager is or your compliance officers are, and you have been given the workplace plan. If your company hasn't given that to you, you have every right to request it. So do request it, please, guys. When it comes to COVID-19, I think the law has become a little bit stricter. So it helps us in protecting us and making sure that we know that we are protected by the law in any case that we could possibly contract the virus. And also, did you guys know that should you contract COVID-19, you are actually entitled to sick leave, even though your sick leave has depleted for that financial year. But it needs to be an application made directly to the UIF according to the Unemployment Insurance Act. And the directive by the Minister of Employment and Labour has amended it. So you can't be denied sick leave because your sick leave days have depleted. You need to submit the proof that you did contract COVID-19 to the UIF so that it is tracked that way.
Can you imagine Can you imagine you have you test positive for COVID and your sick leave is depleted and they're saying come back to work?
Guys, you know, hey, every little Uti, imagine. You know, some companies can be so ruthless. Can be so ruthless. That's I've heard really some interesting stories. Let's say it's rough out there, hey. And I think also the sad part about it is it's almost like some companies are making you pay for the fact that there's like a pandemic and everyone is suffering. It's like, not my fault. Yeah. What should I do? And if you don't have a car, you add a higher risk of contracting the virus because you have to be on buses, taxis, you know, things like that. So hey guys, that's a tricky one, hey?
Yeah. I'm just reading Junia. Hello, Junia. Welcome. She says the concept of the office being a certain building should be out of the window. As long as the people are able to function, they should be allowed to work from anywhere, not just during Corona, but forever. You know, some offices are a waste of money and space. I think that's a valid comment. And I'm also thinking, should companies actually not... that those that can't fully work, you know, remotely, allow their staff to work remotely, they should really now be trying to find ways to enable their employees to do that, because we can see that we don't know how long this virus is going to be around for. Also, if Corona goes away, there might be another virus that causes it. So shouldn't we then just be actually ready to make remote working the new norm forever?
What this pandemic has done, it has shown us like quite a lot of things. For example, that people literally need to be enabled to work from anywhere. And I think that's going forward, companies are now really looking at what an office looks like, because, you know, it needs to change. And with the times changing, it also needs to change. And I think that's particularly a great thing, because I think not only does it need to change, but I think people will start learning how to be productive when they're not in the office, which is also very important.
One thing I have, and look, Junior's making a valid point, but one thing I've picked up is sometimes with this work from home, passion or inspiration almost sort of depletes, right? So in the industry that I work in, you need to constantly be on the go. You need to be innovative. You need to think on your feet, because we represent clients who are facing these challenges. It's almost like you can't have the same challenges that your clients are facing, because your clients are looking to you to provide them with the solutions, right? And I've picked up that there's been like a little bit of a decrease in motivation to some extent. So I've picked up that the lack of human contact has somewhat also affected productivity. So I like the work from home idea, but I do still believe in that human interaction being needed. So sometimes what I do is I make sure that I don't always like going on video calls, but I realize that my European colleagues, when we do calls, are constantly on video. And I think it's the reason that's how they try to connect. So I think that human element, that creativity, that energy is still needed. But then it's about a balance for businesses, because with businesses at the end of the day is about profit. And what costs are we having to incur to keep the business running? And if space, we still need the space, it's so tricky, because then are we paying for space, but are we still going to pay with a lack of creativity and a lack of production? So I think it's going to take us a while to fully get it right.
So I'm just reading Pumelele's comment that also their company also created like a special COVID leave group, so that if you need to be booked off because of COVID, then you don't need to actually make use of your annual leave or your sick leave. So there's special COVID sick leave created for that. And Mulite says he also heard of a case where someone was forced to go back to work even though they tested positive. That's crazy.
I've heard of that too.
Yeah. I think that it's very important that company puts tools in place that address mental health during this time. That's actually one question that I want to ask you guys. Like, what have your companies been doing, as people are working remotely to kind of help with, because I think one reality that came out of this working remotely is that we found out we found ourselves working even longer hours now that we are working remotely than when we were working at the office. I think because, you know, that guilt thing we spoke about, that when you are at home, you kind of feel guilty and you end up putting on way more hours than you usually do. And so, yeah, so I just wanted to hear from you guys. What have your companies been doing that just to help guys to kind of, you know, relax and look after their mental health during this time?
So, for our company, we basically have like a medical aid system, right? And they have allowed us to actually get in touch with HR and then do HR to the medical insurance department, where they would help us with, you know, if you want to talk to somebody, if you want, you know, if you want to cry, if you just want to like bend or whatever it is. But they've also, it's also within the company, they've allowed people, not allowed, people have become volunteered to be there for each other in like this buddy group almost. So you're paired with a buddy and then you can like touch base, you can vent, you can share and whatnot. So I think that has also helped. And the other thing that they've done, it's not necessarily like a mental health solution, but I think it actually helps in that regard. It's in relation to connectivity. It's like how we do our town halls has changed. The video on, you have your glass of wine or, you know, whatever drink you like. And I think it makes it like very interactive. I mean, like,
Latin connection. What did you say, Latin?
No, I was saying that, you can have like wine if it's after four. So it's, you know.
During the town hall meeting.
And I think that's actually quite nice because it almost feels like you're having drinks with your colleagues. And yeah, and I think that has definitely made so like loneliness and, you know, not being connected a little bit better. Stand-up meetings has also changed. We like have a theme for every day. And then I think that's like fun if you need to like present whatever you need to present, like in an accent or like in your own language. And it's, you know, it's like it keeps people active. It's like fun and funny. And I think it, you know, I think it also does help like a lot of, you know, of people get through everything.
Okay, before I come to you, Kia, to ask what your company is doing, I'm just seeing Nompumelela says that the company does like webinars that also accommodate the whole family, and they have sessions with iCares. They've created a blog series. Oh, wow. What's the blog series about? I'd be really interested about that. And then Lighten Mulite wants to come work for your company. So please DM him, contact details for apply for a job. And then Pumelela says the employee assistance program has been boosted in terms of service offerings for therapists, lots of engagements on WhatsApp, colleagues are encouraged to send a message to other colleagues in the front line operations. Lerato says that her company has started a portal where employees can access to get any kind of additional support and an allowance to buy anything that would make your workspace more like workspace. Okay, that's awesome. Sounds like really cool. Kia, what are you guys doing?
So we've got like just on Friday, we had, every Friday we've got like an event that we do on MS Teams where the whole company has to join, including the CEO, all the managers have to come on. And this past Friday, we had one where we had like a music quiz. There was a lyrics, it's almost like a lyrics quiz. And the organizers had to either sing a song or say the lyrics, and you had to guess. You know, in the MS Teams chat box, you had to guess, you had to say your name and then guess who the artist and the song is. It was quite interesting. It was hilarious. It was fun. It really lifted my spirits a lot because I wasn't feeling well on Friday, but I really enjoyed that. And then also each team has its own little thing going on because each team lead has to have like their own weekly calls to check in. So I've heard that some of our teams, what they do, they do like daily check-ins or share videos or songs for the day, a song for the day, a song for the week, picture of the day, or a meme for the day, a meme for the week, or anything of that sort. But then we obviously have, because our company, we have a global company that has made access to for our families and our extended families counseling services. So what it's the same, it's the equivalent to ICAST that we have here for a lot of companies that have ICAST. So if you need to call someone or call or just chat to someone on the, over the phone, we've got that service as well. Personally, I try to call my teammates, my team one by one, you know, on a one-on-one basis, because they each have different areas or the needs, right? So someone might have an issue with the workspace at home and family dynamics. Someone is struggling with mental health. Someone is struggling with this or being motivated. So in addition to the group stuff, I try with my team to call them individually weekly just to check in. How are you doing? How's your mom? How's your dad? What's going on in your world? Because I think sometimes they just need that little bit of engagement, which is difficult for me because I'm not a very emotionally open person. So it literally forced me to like dig deep and, you know, call people and check up on them. It's like one of the hardest things for me to ever do because I'm not that type of person naturally. So I've had to like force myself to constantly check in on people. But the team chats on Fridays where you grab your drink, you grab your wine and we discuss. I actually realized I missed one of my employees because I hadn't seen or heard her voice in a while. So when we went on the team chat, I was like, oh my gosh, girl, I haven't seen you in a while. I haven't heard your voice. I missed you. She's like, I miss you too. So those are quite interesting.
That is awesome. I think for me, this is like an area of passion. And I think that's also, you know, I've you know, when we started with the lockdown, I was really like feeling low most of the time. So I think getting involved in this type of work at the office or well, at work has really helped me to kind of, you know, lift my spirit. So I think like you said, I work for a big company. So luckily they are able to do like big gestures for staff. Like for example, we had a session where the whole leadership just were on a video call, just letting us know how they are dealing with the lockdown and you know how the company is handling it. And then they had Siya Kolisi come on, and Siya Kolisi was also talking to us about how he's doing. And then they had Jay Something come and sing a song for us and also talk. Yeah. So that was the first session. And a different session. This one wasn't for the whole company, but it was for our division. We had a comedy show where we had the Goliath brothers on and they were doing the comedy skits and we asked everybody to join in with their families. It was so, so amazing, man. And then, so we also have other sessions like wellness sessions with staff and just helping them with parenting, you know, kids going back to school. We had an educational psychologist just come on there to just talk to them about with the little ones that are at home. How do you get them to what are some of the things that you need to do for them while they're at home and not at school? Because parents are not teachers. They're not trained to be teachers. So they don't know. Like things like routine for 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds that you would usually send to, you know, daycare. What are some of the things that you have to put in place for them? It looks like Nompumelelo works in the same company as I do. Cause
I can see. Now we know where our charges are going. Thanks, Lelo.
I think, you know, the one thing about this pandemic is it really shows the kind of leadership that you have in the company, whether it's good or bad and whether they care, this is the time where you actually get to see. And I think how leaders in organizations are responding and how they're treating their employees actually says a lot about the kind of company that we are working in. And it's actually shown through this pandemic. So I think we have to kind of wrap up on this topic and move on to tea time before it's late. But, Mulete Molebati says personal physical phone call weekly from my manager helped in my case. So yeah, I think that personal touch has really been key just to check in how are you doing and just to talk about stuff that you're struggling with. Okay. So before we wrap up, maybe Kia, just for you to wrap up the conversation and then we can move on to tea time with Lighten.
Yeah, guys. So essentially all we're saying is you have the right to say no in the event that you don't feel that you need to be in the office or you don't feel safe to be in the office. Please acquaint yourself with the rules and regulations that the government and has put out. Acquaint yourself with the Gazette as much as possible. And let us help the people around us who don't have access to the information. We make the information available to you guys. We'll share as well on our pages. The different law firms that are making the information available so that you can share with the people in your homes who don't necessarily understand these things or understand these topics, let us help each other as a community and a society to, you know, fight the spread of COVID-19. And I actually like the topic, and I think what should be our next topic is helping our moms and pops who are working from home. So maybe that's another topic, the next topic. But Lelo and Lighten, do you guys have any parting words for this particular topic?
For me, I think, you know, one thing that I've realized, and I think you touched on it a bit earlier, is I suppose, you know, the good thing that has come out of this is like managers and just people in general have grown a lot, because you have to, you know, keep finding new ways to keep yourself, you know, like addressing certain situations that you probably might have not been good at. Like you said, yeah, like you're not an open person in general, like emotionally. So you have to push yourself. So it's like instances like that that I find quite interesting, on how many things that we have learned or skills, be it like practical or like emotional skills, that we've actually developed to like cope. So yeah, that's like my learning.
Okay, I'm ready for tea, guys. Yay! Guys, do you have your cups, teas in the comments there? Do you have your teas? Time for tea time. Now we are gossiping with Lighten. Yo, good. Okay, Lighten, what do we have in tea time?
So we have like something that is just, new that I was late to catch up on, but the Beyonce Black is King Disney film coming up on the 31st of July on Disney Plus. We know that Beyonce inked that deal with Disney, where she's doing 3 projects with them in the next 3 years, and I think it was like about 100 million. So sis is coining it, but she has released this teaser for Black is King, and guess what? It's got Umam Khanishume, Nandi Madida, Warren Masemula, Munchal Sanele, and I forget the last person. So if you remember the last person.
I think Busi's, I think, is on there as well.
Is Busi's in there? But I thought it was the last person. Yeah.
What is Black is King? What is it?
It's like a film by Beyonce that is basically like ended celebrating like Blackness, Africans, and I think it's going to be amazing. But you know, in Beyonce style, it doesn't tell you what it's going to be like. It's just like this beautiful teaser. So I'm so excited to see it. And I think, you know, with the work that she's been doing of late, that is aimed at the Black community, I think it's going to be something spectacular. So I cannot wait to watch that. So guys, the 31st of July, if you've got Disney Plus, I don't have it. I think I might do the trial period and then like watch it and then like log off.
guys, Connie Chuma is killing it. She's on Gomorrah now. She was on Black Panther as well. Like, and then she's on Housekeepers as well. And like, she's literally, she's killing it. That lady is doing the most.
And she is so amazing. And I like the fact that, like, what I like about that, I think it highlights that our industry, well, not our industry, like we're actors, but the entertainment industry and, like, you know, the acting world is embracing women that are older, that are good at what they do. And I think that's really, really important to see that your career can go on, you know, no matter how old you are. Because, yeah, years back, it was like the It Girls were getting all the acting gigs, which is, you know.
Actually, it's both Jack Nicholson, Libo. That guy. Who's the guy that we've never seen him young? Mamang Morgan. Who's the black guy?
Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman also look like?
Lighten, have you seen Cicely Tyson, guys? Every time I see her on screen, I worry, my goodness, can she not collapse? Okay, sorry.
I know, right? It's like, Mello. Cicely Tyson is like acting her way to, you know, her final rest place. Like,
yeah.
I'm better at that. I'm just like, you know what? If she still has the power, keep going. So the story that I like to cover today is The interesting news of one of half of one of Kia's favorite couple came here. I'm outing you out. So, Kanye West has inked a deal with Gap. So it's a 10-year partnership with Gap for Yeezy and Gap. It's basically going to be like a women, men's, and like children line, which I think is such like an exciting deal for them, and of course like for consumers if you want or are interested like in Yeezys and whatnot. But what I like about this is because you can now buy like designer stuff on a, like in with a price tag that's quite affordable. So it's almost going to be like an H&M type of like Yeezy, which is really great. So I'm looking forward to buying a few pieces myself. But what I will let you guys know is that you need to manifest, you need to speak your dreams into existence and watch them manifest, like how Kanye West gave that interview in 2005. And he was talking about how he used to like work at Gap and he didn't really, really appreciate it and whatever. But then he wanted to own Gap or like, you know, be as important to Gap as like the creative directors in big fashion companies. So he spoke his current deal into existence. So here's the manifestation, guys.
Jessica, is it still supporting Donald Trump, this Kanye West work when I lied to him?
Hey guys, like I no, you know, like on that note, I'm like on the Kim side. I'm like we do not address those Trump things. It's like
that was a strategic one. So that was a very smart move, that one. It worked well in their favor for a while.
Right? But then it's likely to go south of this Trump, which brings me to our next story. Guys, I'm giving it up for the Gen Z and the TikTokers. I know we canceled TikTok here, but then it looks like TikTok is back again because in the US, Donald Trump had like a rally in Tulsa. And it's quite an important, actually, state for him to, like, you know, grab voters. And these TikTokers, like, these Gen Z TikTokers made, like, this whole challenge on TikTok to actually reserve seats in the rally. And then so they reserved the seats, like, more than half of the stadium. They even built an overflow because there's a lot of, like, requests. And guess what? No one was planning to show up. They were just reserving seats so that nobody reserved seats. Remember when 50 Cent bought out the first two rows of Ja Rule's show? Yeah, that was the same.
Ah, guys.
They were not paying. It was just booking the seats, ne?
Yeah, they were booking the seat for the rally. So you're not paying anything. So, yeah.
Why was he having a rally within this mess that we're in, Mara? Either guy, he deserves it.
He wants to get voted in November, so he's like trying to be out here. And with this Black Lives Matter movement, he knows that he needs to get out and be seen. But you know what? What I thought was quite interesting is how admirable this generation. Like, I feel like, you know, the Gen Zs are, I'm a millennial, but like the younger ones, you know, and it's like, I feel like they are the generation that just like has their own rules. They just like do whatever they like. And there's like a beauty to that. I think like it's going to be quite a disruptive generation. If they harness the distraction in the right direction. Well done to them. And bringing it close to home now, guys, like what's happening with Miss SA? Like I'm over it. But okay, let me start off with a positive note. On a positive note, Miss SA official released this, the finalists, I think the 12 girls. The pictures look bomb. They are pretty. Pretty girls in the land. So let's give them that.
True.
The same thing is like, I don't know if you've heard about Ushudu Musida. So she was on Twitter saying that she, you know, she will not be following any followers because she finds it stressful and overwhelming to follow 350 people and like on Twitter. And then people started coming in and saying, well, like if you're overwhelmed by following people on Twitter, how are you gonna handle the time? My goodness, girl, how are you gonna do it? So, What do you think, guys? Do you think it's like a fair assessment? Because I was like a bit conflicted. I was like, I get where she was coming from, but then I'm also like, those are things that you don't tell people on Twitter. It's just like, just don't follow anything, say anything, you know? So, but you think the assessment is fair to say that, like, if she cannot handle following other people on Twitter, can she handle, like, the responsibilities of Crown?
Hey, that's a tricky one. Hey, because deep down, I know why she unfollowed those people. Deep down, she wants a different following ratio that makes her look bomb F on social media. So sis, we see right through you. We see right through you. But also, she has control over her page. So I don't know why we need to feel entitled to having her follow. If she doesn't feel like, if you're toxic and she doesn't want to follow you, let her be. Like, hello. I mean, but also, guys, why are we having this SA? Like, honestly, we are within a pandemic.
That's exactly what Nompumelelo just said. So Nompumelelo commented, they're gorgeous girls, but do we need Miss SA this year?
I mean, I agree with Pumi, like, really.
Yeah, we don't, like, I don't really think we need it. I think, like, we need to just bring back Zozie and she can be the Miss SA.
Was this girl following, like, because I'm seeing Katleho agrees with you, Kia, on her following Reshi or what? Was she following a lot of people? Because I haven't really followed that story of.
She unfollowed like 10,000 people.
Yeah. Why was she following 10,000 people?
So, meaning, because she had 10,000, she had 300 when I checked, and she has a following of about 26K. Maybe it's gone up to 30 by now. But the day that I did check, when I was now following 300 people and had a following of 26,000, and I just followed the conversations, and people were like, how you unfollowed 10,000 people? So then I'm assuming she was following 13,000. So what tells me, though, is that she was part of follow train Twitter. So those people that constantly do follow trains, like this, and I'll follow you. Let's build each other and I'll follow you. The ghetto Twitter.
See ya. The ghetto.
It's just literally, I'm rolling my eyes at this whole thing. And I also don't think, why are we fasting by doing Umi South Africa? And now we're making people go and queue at Money Market to vote for Umi South Africa as well. Thing is, like, your credit card, and then if you want to vote cash, go Money Market. I'm like, who's gonna go and queue? Go Money Market to vote for Miss South Africa. Do we need that?
I need money for food. I'm not gonna vote.
Lerato has commented saying, we don't though, the whole thing needs to be thrown away. Like, that's what we actually spoke about this when we were speaking about that other girl who dropped out the other time. But then it's the relevance. Kia, you brought it up. It's like, what is the relevance of Miss SA in this day and age? But you know, that's the jury's still out on that.
Then
you said Miss South Africa anymore. Remember, there's another Miss South Africa.
Oh,
you see?
No.
I was going to become Miss Universe, then that other lady who was the second princess then became the queen. I don't know her name.
That's the thing. We don't know her name. So the audience.
We don't know her name. Up your marketing. Up your people.
Right. Melita, are you voting there? Because you are saying at least you get 100 rand for 25 votes.
I think Mulet is a very supportive individual. I suspect, I regularly that airtime, Mulet, and I can check. So apparently she gave a statement. So Katleho says she gave a statement about the confusion with accounts. We ain't kids. I wonder what's the, we ain't kids, really.
But they're not in South Africa yet. They're already giving us statements. No, guys, no.
Social media, her fame.
I'm done coming to South Africa.
South Africa is just too, our closing story. I don't know if you guys know, like, the rapper Fabulous, right? Of course, like, you know Fabulous. I don't know if you know the wife, Emily B. So,
they beat each other the other time. Were they not fighting?
Exactly. So, guys, guess what? Like, they've announced that she's pregnant with their, I think it's their fourth child. And last year, they fought so hard that he knocked out her teeth and threatened to kill her father. And now they're, like, having a child. And guys, like, and I know, like, this, you know, this is like a topic that's been going on, like, closet, like at home with like gender-based violence, you know, in the last couple of weeks, actually every day in South Africa, not even like the last couple of weeks. It's like, guys, maybe it makes sense. I don't know how that makes sense, and I don't know what that is, what that image is giving to their children, because they have like girls, and I'm just like, it's a whole complete mess. I don't know why people, you know, like don't try and get help.
That's my only explanation, honestly. Like, that's literally, that's the only explanation why you would go back to a man who was threatening your father. And yeah.
Guys, so in the words of Lelo, the only reason why she went back is because of the eggplant, guys.
I don't know, guys. I think it's a deeper mental and emotional issue to go back to an ex or an abusive person. And it needs a psychologist, that one. You can't even explain it. It's just like us, you know, sometimes we judge abused victims, but how many of you have gone back to a toxic ex? Huh? Yeah.
Please stop calling us out, Kia. Stop calling us out.
Yeah, no, Kia is like putting
that
us
ex
on
that the cheated, that ex that cheated on you. How many times have you gone back? Huh?
But
I'm pulling a Porsche.
So Lighten, before you close, because you said this was the last story, can I just add one last one?
Yes.
That I saw people are talking about. So, you know, Black Coffee and Entle Amos, you know, calling it quits. So I saw a story on the, I think it's on the front page of the Sunday Times. So this guy tweeted and said that, Katlego says, my ex-marriage was hella toxic and I stayed for years. No, that's true. That's true. A lot of stories for days about, you know, relationships that we should have left that we didn't leave. So this guy says, the ex-wife of DJ Coffee in court papers demands a staggering 177,820 per month just to get by. And Coffee claims Mbali is wrong to purport that they were married in community or property. The DJ claims the perception that he's been wealthy is wrong, as he has been also affected by COVID. So I think she's looking for 177,000.
I stand a queen that knows her worth. Yes.
Exactly. And is that a lot of money for Black Coffee, do you think?
I don't think so.
Because
they've got
we think that money. Rainyaga.
He's not performing because of Corona. So he's also not going to Ibiza. They've also called off all their So I don't know. Like, why is it that men always say they don't have money when it comes to supporting their kids or even their ex spouses? It baffles
me.
You know, like, yeah. And if he doesn't have it, he should start reselling those Louis Vuitton clothes. Just like make. I don't have any money for people. I'm just like, guys. No, like, he can make a plan, DJ.
The thing is also, he's been posting like these fancy cars, they post these fancy experiences, and then when it comes to maintaining their family, because the reality is people who've been married and have kids will always remain family because they're linked, you know, by flesh and blood. And so when are you living, you're flying in jets, it's nice when you're posting your success flying in jets, but you don't want to maintain the child. Please, guys, get it, niggas need to get it together. And also, I think, you know, there's a lady on, her name is Debelo, I think she's a law practitioner, and she keeps stressing how the minute you go into negotiations and you have not signed a prenup, you're automatically married in community of property. So apparently, even before you guys have that level of negotiation, you're supposed to have you should have signed your prenup, because then you're automatically marrying in community of property. So just FYI. Yeah.
But You know what I was thinking, just one more thought, Lelo, was that it's also not about maintenance. It's also maintaining a lifestyle. And I feel like if you get your family accustomed to a certain lifestyle, you actually need to maintain that lifestyle. And there is no way that now kids are used to, like, you know, having caviar for breakfast, and then now they need to have, like, cornflakes. Like, nah, boo.
Nah, boo.
Nah, boo. Okay, well, all the best to Mbali and the kids, man. I hope they reach a settlement that's fair, you know, for everyone when they negotiate. Because at the end of the day, you know, we can fight and fight, but at some point they need to come to an agreement because the kids need to eat, you know. They need to go to school and all of that. So, yeah, guys, so thank you so much. When I, Mpumelele, how do you know that black coffee? But also, if black coffee gets 100K per gig, isn't that a little for black coffee?
I think
in the SA context, it's a lot of money in SA.
Yeah, no, but also not only that, it's like 100K per gig. He can have 5 gigs in one day.
Oh, yeah. So that's like 500K. Yeah. That is a lot of money, guys.
Yes, some of us don't even get 100K per month.
Like,
some people don't get 100K a year, guys.
So guys, sure. But anyway, so thank you, guys. I think that's it for this week's episode. So, Lighten Kia, where do people find us on social media? Guys, can you please stop embarrassing us? Can you please go and follow that office podcast page? In only 80 people. How many people are following?
Please, guys.
I think about 83. I think about 83 followers. But office podcast SA, guys, on all platforms. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I think let's send a shout out to everyone who participated today. Thank you guys for joining us, actually. So we've got Nompumelelo who was on, we've got Pumelelo who was on, we've got Ferdinand who was on, we've got Katleho who
was
on.
Please drop your hand.
Yes, guys, we're gonna follow you. Molete who was on, thank you. Katleho who was on, Lerato. Yeah, thank you guys. You actually made this very fun. This is actually our first live podcast, so this was actually
we were worried that there was no one that's going to join, so we really appreciate you coming.
What you guys can also do is let us know what you want us to chat about, what topics we should do next, and if you have any suggestions or concerns, please also let us know. We're trying to build a community more than anything.
Okay, so thank you, Buntle _ Mott. We are going to be following you. We'll follow you guys. Thank you so much for all the love. We really appreciate you. And then we shall see you guys next. I know you've had the whole conversation, but we still want you to download the podcast. It counts the numbers.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you so much, guys. We'll see you again next week. Goodbye.
Bye, guys.